Davis.
I'm Shannon Kessler.
And we are your girlfriend's guide to Formula One. And we're back. Close
back. Look at us. 3 weeks in a row.
I mean, who would have thought?
What are you doing?
We say that every week.
It's like we don't have a podcast that we've been doing for 2 years. It's weird.
I know.
It's like we're surprised.
Carlos, he did it.
Carlos did the things.
Did it.
I said that he would do the things, and he did the things.
He did so many things this weekend, but
he was so busy.
But real proud of Ferrari for getting on the podium this weekend.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Okay, let's go through
the Italian GP.
The Italian GP. Yes. So we have qualies, which was a little bit okay. First of all, can we just? I'm going to share my true, like, what the actual with Disney. And for us, it's Spectrum. I don't know, like, whomever.
A lot of places.
Yeah, it's not.
About New York, too.
Yes. And I just want to say that this is absolute bullshit. So I don't know who needs to talk to who. Who took somebody's tea time and somebody got pissed about it. And now we're all having to pay for it. But y'all need to figure the fuck out. Because listen. It shouldn't cost me $200 a month to watch sports. It just shouldn't. Like, if I'm going to pay that kind of money, I'm going to go to an event. I'm going to go to the sporting event in which I would like to go to. But I don't want to do that all the time. I would like to watch from the comfort of my own home. And because they're being dicks about it, I can't seem to do that without using my friend's YouTube TV. So thank you, Danielle, for letting me watch my sports via your account. But
get on YouTube
also,
TV. I could have also given you my login to ESPN Plus because we have both.
Well, yeah, we have Plus as well. But
you should be able to watch it through ESPN Plus.
We were able to watch it on ESPN Plus.
Okay.
However, there were different things running in our house at the same time, and I was getting kind of pissed. And I was like, get off these channels and stop streaming shit in this house. I gotta watch a race. I was getting very mad.
Cut the cord. YouTube TV sponsor us because your girl been. I've been a loyal customer.
Yeah,
got all the things. Honestly, if there's a subscription service, I have it. So if anyone ever, you know, wants to watch a show that they don't have a subscription for, I have them all.
Okay, good. Well, good to know that you're saving the rest of us from our deprived television.
I have basically cable, but it's all just through the internet.
Perfect.
Yeah. So if you need a login, push audience. You know, you need to watch The Bear on Hulu or you need to check out something on HBO. I got them all. Got
Danielle's
them all.
Girl, she's got it unlocked.
TV queen. Nothing's going to stop me.
No.
I've been known to set up a VPN in a foreign country to make sure I can watch something.
Oh, well, there's a couple shows on the, oh gosh, what's the British television
show?
BBC, yeah, on the BBC that a couple that I've shows that I've been very invested in on international flights that I can't get back home, but I'm like, well, I need to what happened to Cheryl? Like, well, I'm seven seasons in and I'm like, what happened to Cheryl? What's going on?
This is not F1 related at all, but if you need to figure it out, you have to download their streaming service and then I can teach you how to use a VPN. It bounces the signal, but that's the IT of it also.
Oh. Thank you, Danielle.
You're trying to watch football in foreign countries. So
okay.
There you go.
Thank you.
There you
thank
go.
You, thank you. Well, back to F1. Back to qualies and finally getting to watch it. A couple hours delayed. But it was pretty exciting. I thought qualies was...
Yeah, it was so close.
Yeah, so close. Super proud of Carlos for getting on pole. I was like, didn't see that coming. Didn't have that in my vision. But... glad that it was happening. I'm like, this is great.
I mean, I would have preferred the reverse, but you know, it is what it is.
Yes,
it
yes.
Is what it is.
Do you understand? Yeah.
But Max not on pole is always a little bit of a, you know, you never know. I mean, he's always going to win in 7 seconds flat, but
yeah,
it's but nice to have a.
At a least it's bit. Entertaining, you know, and it gives something. It gives you, you know what it gives? It gives hope. And hope can be a dangerous thing, but it's also a beautiful thing.
I mean, I'm having people who are just like not big F1 fans, just like casual people who you know, keep up with it a little, will watch it if it's on type thing. They're like, hey, is anyone other than Max ever going to win a race? Because like this is absurd. And I was like, yeah, it's not great. They were talking about it on the US Open the other day. They were like, yeah, she was saying like, oh, I love F1. They put the promo up for the race on Sunday. And she was like, I love watching F1. It was, I don't know who it was, the British tennis commentator. And she's like, I love it, but I'm a little sick of Max winning. Even she was like, she's just like, it's boring. It's boring.
Yeah. Enough is enough.
Enough is enough. It's not enough though. It's never enough for Christian.
It's never enough, Christian. But, you know, I think maybe now he's just in such like a place of peace that he's so unbothered. He probably sleeps great at night. He's probably gotten, you know, the most sleep he's ever gotten in his whole life. Probably cholesterol's way down, blood pressure's way down. He's probably doing the best ever.
Yeah. I mean, there's nothing else to do.
There's no stressing.
10 in a row for Red Bull.
Maybe, you know, the only thing stressing you out is what comment is going to come out of Helmut Marko's mouth. But other than that, you know, that's not something he can control. So it's an uncontrollable.
Speaking of comments that are coming out of people's mouths, you know that I love Toto. But that was the biggest load of shit comment that he said about how records are for Wikipedia or whatever. That was the most absurd thing for someone to say. That it's kind of just like, well, I had them all and then they took them. I mean, it's just so bonkers that what's the quote? That he's like, it's for Wikipedia and nobody reads that anyway. For me, these types of records are completely irrelevant. Well, they weren't irrelevant for you when Lewis was winning every race.
Yeah. It's not great. It's reading very bitter, and I don't like bitter Toto. Not even one little bit. I'm like, oh, Toto, no, don't go down this road.
It's giving Braddy Max on the radio vibes.
Oh, God, if we could just get Braddy Max back.
It was a little bit.
I mean, we get in like spurts. I just need like a full on race where he's in the full panics of like,
yeah, I just think that like, look, we all know that Toto is a king, but this was the biggest load of shit of him saying that, because if Lewis had won 10 in a row, he would be.
Yeah, terrible. Yeah, it is. I agree. Load of shit.
Sour grapes. Sour we don't grapes. Love it, Toto. We don't love.
No, we don't. We don't really love, you know. I don't really love the Mercedes right now. I don't really think it's great car. Even Lewis is like, listen, we can't get to February fast enough. And I'm like, same. I'm like, let's just be done with this car. It's just.
It's had its moments.
It's got glimmers, you know, of like, we see where it's going to be. Why is it shaking? I know where it's going. It's just not there, and it's not there fast enough. But I don't think anything is fast enough to give Red Bull a run for their money. I mean, the fact that, you know, Carlos led for 15 laps, I was like, that, you know what, Toto, that's going in the Wikipedia too, because it hasn't happened all season. So we're actually going to celebrate the small victories that we can. He led for 15 laps was a beautiful thing.
He's led the most laps of anyone not in a Red Bull this season.
It's pretty spectacular.
Yeah, you go, Carlos.
Yes. It's doing great.
Yeah. I mean, you're validated from when I was talking shit about him last week.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm still whatever. It's whatever, whatever. They're still just doing poor Charles dirty, but
they are doing Charles dirty. But this does increase the amount of races that Carlos has won over Charles.
He didn't win anything.
Well, he's doing better in the Ferrari scene than Charles. He's won more races than Charles this year. Like, he's
Nobody has won a race.
Let me recorrect what I was saying. He has finished higher than Charles this season.
Well, are we sure?
Yes, yes. My notes are actually in my office. However, this makes it, I believe, 9 out of the however many. Charles has DNF'd 3 times this season. Yeah,
but
Carlos has DNF'd once. But this puts Carlos ahead of Charles in, like, finishing ahead of him.
He's got 6 more points than Charles.
He's finished ahead. That doesn't mean that either of them had a lot of points when they finished the race. It's just, I'm saying Carlos has finished ahead of Charles more times than not this season.
Okay, whatever. I'm just saying he's only 6 points back, so. Neither of them have won anything.
I know. Well, you know what? I'm happy that Carlos did get on pole. I thought we needed a Ferrari on the podium. It didn't, honestly, in my heart of hearts, it didn't matter which one. But what got my heart about to explode out of my chest was when Charles was trying to take out Carlo. I'm like, you guys, you can't kill each other in the last lap of Monza. This is not how the curse works. Like, you can't curse the entire population. Stop being idiots.
It was fun fighting. That's what Charles even said in the race, in the Scuderia Ferrari approved race recap.
Well,
That's what he said. He said it was good fighting. The fighting was good. The fighting was fun. And I was hoping he was going to beat him.
It was a lot. It was like, oh my God. I mean, I literally was watching like through my fingers, like, oh my God, please don't crash the Ferraris. Please don't crash the Ferraris.
Well, they didn't crash.
Thank goodness.
Okay. So let's talk like more details of the race. Qualies. We had the Mercedes. No bueno. What's happening with the McLaren too? The McLaren is having a moment. Like, it was good. And is it bad? It's not bad, but no. And then what's happening with Aston Martin? Aston Martin, just where have you gone? Like,
I don't know.
People
I'm going to need
to their car and they're just like,
kick Alonso off my fantasy team. I'm gonna have to get rid of Aston Martin on my constructors. Like, they're really dicking me over in the fantasy, and I'm done. I'd like for them to stop doing that.
Well, yeah.
Also, like, also, Yuki, what? AlphaTauri, why? Yeah. Why are we letting the king's car blow up in the formation lap?
Yeah, we haven't even. So we're gonna go through the race. We haven't even started the race, and Yuki, I think I got up just to, like, you know, pick something up, get a coffee or do something, came back and was like, what's happening? What's Yuki doing? Why is he pulled over? What's he doing? Where is he going?
I've never seen a red flag in a formation.
Like,
what the fuck?
Okay, ladies, let's get information. Get information. What are you doing, Yuki? Why are you over on the side? Why are you in the grass? We in formation. What I mean, do we ever know, find out what happened to that car? Just blew up.
Some engine failure, but like, my question is, was there not like a data point that somebody was like, hey guys, this number looks a lot higher than normal. Should we be concerned? Yeah. Like, did nobody like the check? Who pre-checked the checklists on Yuki's car? Like, it's not ready.
They're all standing out on the grid for, you know, an hour and a half or however long those cars are out. They're all tinkering with stuff, looking at stuff, you know, doing things. Did someone not in the little run around the car say, hey, something's not looking so good?
I don't know.
Doesn't make any sense.
I have no idea. The mysteries of the AlphaTauri. Don't know.
Yeah, and then we lost. I mean, and then the Alpine is having the troubles. The Alpine continues with the troubles. Again, highs and lows with everybody else. Red Bull is the only one like keeping it steady. Everyone else is on this roller coaster of emotions.
Yeah, that therapy bill this summer or this winter break is going to be massive for
everyone. It doesn't matter who you love. You love McLaren, it's been good times, it's been bad times. You like Mercedes, good times, bad times. The only one it's been like all bad times for is Alfa Romeo. Williams, good times, bad times.
I know. Williams, I mean, are we going to get into the race? Because I'd love to talk about Alex Albon.
You always want to talk about Alex.
Always want to talk about Alex. This week, he drove incredible. And I'm just like, you and Logan have the same car, right? Like, it's the same car.
Well, do we think it's the same, or do you think that there's someone else is getting, like, someone's testing stuff and someone's getting
I'm
this
sure stuff. That Alex has the better of the two.
Yeah.
I just don't know that this is, like, is it the Williams is just good, or is Alex just making the Williams good?
I think that the Williams is okay, is decent, and that Alex is pushing it to good.
Okay.
Like, I think that the Williams is, like, it's in the mix, but I think he's taking it up a level.
Yeah, because it's not like the bottom of the, like, you know, and like the best of the rest. I would put them at the, you know, at the, they're in like a fighting weight right now. And I love to see it. I love to see it. And I'm a little ticked off that in the polls, the Sky Sports polls of like who gets driver of the day, you know, I'm real tired of seeing Max's face up there. I know I say this like every week. I'm like, he really shouldn't get driver of the day anymore. He's already gotten it so many times. But like, why aren't we voting for Alex? Boy. I don't like, he's doing great. I'm like, justice for Alex. Why can't we put him? Give me a picture.
With Pierre last week. Even the commentators were talking about it this week. I don't know if it was in qualies or the race, but they were like, why wasn't Pierre even in like the top five of, or like top three of voting for driver of the day when he had a rager of a day? Like he had a day.
He did and have he a day. He
didn't even get in there. So I don't know who's voting for these. Does Max just have all of the Netherlands and they everybody must, doing his bidding? Because
it has to be.
It seems like there's some sort of concerted effort, because there's no way that the masses even have to be tired. Even the Max fans have to be like, let's give it to somebody else.
Yeah. Like, we don't need it anymore, guys. It's fine. Like,
I mean, Williams is in seventh. Like, respect.
That's great. I mean, that's literally in the middle.
How is AlphaTauri in 10th?
How?
They are. In the 2023 constructors standing.
What's Alfa Romeo?
There's 9th. They have 10 points, though.
Well, that's from Bottas.
Yeah. AlphaTauri only has 3 points.
Wow.
It's been bad news for the AlphaTauri. Like, how is Red Bull so good and this AlphaTauri is like...
Because they don't... They're like, oh, God, we have to give them money again. Can you just get a job?
They just be like, hey, just copy this one. Just, like, copy-paste.
Yeah.
Copy paste. Just take some things off. It's kind of like a designer dupe. Like, it's the same, but just like do some things a little bit worse, or like cut a few corners.
The stitching doesn't need to stay as legit. Yeah.
The clasps, like all of the hardware, it maybe doesn't need to be as nice, but like the general look is the same, right?
That's a great point. Yeah. I don't know. They seem to be really missing the mark.
That doesn't make any sense to me. No. But yeah, there you go. Alfa Romeo 9th. And then AlphaTauri 10. I mean, Haas is 8th, and then Williams. So they're ahead of Haas, which is breaks my heart a little bit. But
yeah.
I mean, they're definitely in the bottom. They only have 21 points. But, like, that's a lot for Williams.
Like, yeah. When's the last time they had 21 points?
I don't know. Probably a long time. I don't know
either. Yeah, it's probably been a minute.
Yeah. I mean, then it starts. Then the gap starts to open up a little bit. But
yeah.
But yeah. Christy.
Okay. Good to know.
All right. Anyways. Okay. Back to the race.
Back to the race.
What happened to Lewis Hamilton?
Unclear. Also unclear. Other than trying to take out Piastri, I was like, ooh. That was, Oscar had the racing line on that. And I mean, even as it happened, I was like, Lewis, no.
Yeah, he did have the racing line.
So mad, so sad. But as the king that he is, he did apologize to Oscar afterward, went over to his car, made sure he was okay, said, I'm sorry.
Nice.
And I thought that was, you know, when you make a mistake, you own up to it.
He is a king. We do stand for that. You know who hasn't been his queen hasn't been there lately, though? Where has Shakira been? Where's she been?
I don't know, but she needs to. You know she's going to show up in Brazil because that's like a home race. But we got Singapore next. And you know I love Singapore so much.
That's your favorite. Under the lights.
Yes.
Wait, since we're talking about Lewis Hamilton, can I just do a quick news and notes?
Yeah, for sure.
F1 legend Sir Jackie Stewart claims Lewis Hamilton has, quote, serious problems and, quote, no longer has the hunger. He says that he believes that Lewis Hamilton will never win a record-breaking 8th world title because he has serious problems and no longer has that hunger. Hold on.
Does he elaborate on what said serious problems are?
It says Lewis only... Okay. Blah, 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 blah. Stewart added that because of that and because the car is no longer quite as powerful, he has a serious problem. He doesn't have Rosberg to push him is basically what he's saying, and he doesn't have the car. And then he says, I don't think he'll be able to get the 8th title. And he doesn't think he'll change teams. And he thinks he's not it. And that's kind of rude of Jackie Stewart.
Jackie, in all due respect, you can fuck off. Okay. And this is why you can fuck off. Because he is a 7-time world champion. 8-time with the constructors, but 7-time winning the world championship. Do you, how many do you have, Jackie? You think it's a serious problem that if he doesn't get 8, that diminishes what he does? No, it doesn't. It still makes him a king with a nice crown and a big pocket of gold to go swimming in when he's done with this sport. And then he's going to go save the world. So, Jackie, politely, fuck all the way off.
Okay, and I agree. You know, screw Jackie. But do you think that Lewis has lost a little bit of the hunger? Because I think maybe he has.
I mean,
his light seems to have dimmed a little bit. Like, it just doesn't seem like he's in it.
I think, but I also think it's like the realistic of like, yeah. I'm not going to win a championship in this car. Against that Red Bull and that driver, I know I am not going to win this year. So yeah. I don't think his spark is gone. I just think he has the most realistic pair of glasses that he's ever been allowed to wear.
Yeah, okay, I agree with that. I think maybe he needs to share those glasses with Toto. Take them off. Put them on Toto.
Hey, Toto.
Hey, look through these really quick. It's the real. It's the real world.
The real worlds. But like I've always said this, every optimist needs a realist. So Lewis is the realist, Toto is the optimist, and they have to have each other.
And what's George?
Just singing songs. Singing in the rain.
George.
Just George. Just George. He's just George.
Is that, it's like she's a world champion and he's just George.
He's just George. Yes.
All right. Well, yeah, that's true. George didn't have a great race either. Bless him.
Mm-mm.
That car, what happened to it? It was doing so well.
I know. The car was doing really well. I mean, okay. I would like to know, like, when these drivers are defending as hard as they are, and I'm going to use, like, Carlos trying to defend Max, and we're going to use that 15 laps, for example. Like, how much pressure that puts on the car to be going at those, like, at that rate? And then you look at, like, the Red Bull and how much pressure it doesn't have race to race, and like what that degradation does through an entire race, let alone an entire season. Like, that car's going to be sitting pretty. It's like, yeah, I'm faster, but I also don't get, like, no one's going to catch me, so I don't have to go as hard.
Like, I didn't think about that, but that's totally true. Like, Max's car, he has maybe like 3 to 5 difficult, and by difficult, I mean very, like, I mean it on the lowest scale of the word.
Right.
Like, he has 3 to 5 lightly difficult laps, and then he's like, bye, see you later.
Yeah.
So I do get that. The rest of the cars are out there grinding.
Trying not to die, like, at every corner. Trying not to get passed, or, you know, get taken out. You never know what's going to happen on this circuit. But, oh.
Yeah. I mean, George didn't have a bad day. 5th place is not bad. I'm just
kidding. Yeah. I mean, shit. He's doing great.
But he had that penalty.
Yes.
He got that penalty.
I'm going to applaud Ferrari on this week. There was no questionable tire strategies, and there was no shit pits this week.
Yeah, they had a couple great pits. They had a 2.3.
Yeah. So
they usually have a pretty good pit. It's usually just one person doesn't know. Like, it's usually just there's one and you're like, oh, Lord Almighty.
Sometimes I just look at that and I'm like, this, if you're going to train somebody new, this ain't the time to do it. Like, that's what the off season's for.
I feel like there's a lot of pressure on the Ferrari pit. And I don't feel like everybody else is getting the same amount of pressure.
Because no one else is ruining it the way that the Ferrari pit is ruining it.
Other teams are just not good. There was somebody had like a 5-second one this time. I forget who it was. I wasn't taking notes, but.
I typically do, but I didn't take any notes this week for that. You know, because I like a mud pit. And a fire pit.
Yeah.
But there weren't that. I mean, they were all pretty much the same this week. There wasn't like a, ooh.
Monza looked like a real rager.
It did. It did.
It looked now fun.
It did look fun.
It looked full of red, which I liked a lot.
Tifosi was out. And Tifosi was in great spirits.
He was joyful.
I mean, there's honestly, and I say this with all due respect, like, there is nothing sadder than a sad Ferrari fan.
Yeah, it's no good.
We don't want a sad Tifosi. But everyone was happy.
Yeah, it was good vibes. The Tifosi was giving out good vibes. They were. Did you see that they booed Max and that King, sweet, sweet Charles Leclerc said, guys,
don't do that.
Cut it out.
Not nice.
We're not doing that.
Yeah.
Because he's sweet, sweet Charles Leclerc.
Yes. Did you also see, I posted this on our stories today, but I'm going to pull it up so I don't mess it up. But, well, hang on here. The Eurovision, eligible to compete in the Eurovision Song Contest 2024, hashtag Monaco. Charles Leclerc pipes in, I'm ready with the mic.
Oh my God, if Charles did Eurovision, I would want to go.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes.
And Carlos is doing the Ryder Cup.
I know. Look at the party boys. This is what we call diversifying your future.
these boys have multiple talents, multiple interests.
Yes.
Well-rounded, as we like to say.
Yes.
Yeah. Also adept at catching criminals.
Not only was Carlos busy getting on podium in Monza, being so celebrated amongst the people, he caught the thieves that stole his Richard Mille watch right out from under him.
Right off his wrist. This is Richard Mille.
Richard Mille didn't get too many miles on it because Carlos and his trainer chased him down, caught the crook, got it on video, and saved the day. Which makes me think, does the Sainz family also have paparazzi in Italy? Like, who is there just like snapping photos? I don't know.
Also, if you all are new here, we know that it's Ricard Millet, or I do at least. But Shannon once was like, what's this Richard Mille? When we were watching a race, and I was like, excuse? So,
what do you mean?
If you're new,
he wears, what's that? What is that?
Shannon's down south girly was showing.
Yep. Sometimes she pops
like,
up.
We don't have those in NASCAR. but yes, how about how he just said, I mean, I would chase somebody down to the last breath for like I've seen that it was a $325,000. I've heard it was like $500,000. Either way, when you're wearing a full home on your wrist. Yeah.
This is a six-figure watch, people. Like, you're going to put in some steps, like put in an effort to get that back.
When you're wearing a three-bedroom, two-bath on your wrist, you're going to chase the person down. You're going after him. And so respect that he was like, oh, hell no. He's hell like, no. Also, one of my favorite very niche things about Formula One, and maybe it's not niche, but that they're gloves. Have the picture of their watch sponsor on them.
Yes.
And that as soon as they get out of the car, there is like a watch person that comes with the bag and gives them the watch, and they take the gloves off, they put the watch on. Like, that's the first thing. It's like tousle the hair, get the watch.
Have a sip of water. Give me your wrist.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just curious, like, how many watches are sold via the F1 spokesman. I mean, because they all have them. So, I mean, obviously, like, the return's pretty good, but, like, what's the market for a six-figure watch?
We are...
It's not us. We're not, like a swatch.
We are not the consumer, but I do believe that those of the yachting, watch, you know, collecting, jewel, diamond buying, luxury lifestyle living do like to see, you know.
Okay.
I can imagine. I like to pretend.
Yeah. I mean, that's just, you know, it's just a different life and good for them, but I'm glad they got it back.
Yeah.
And safely. I mean, and safely got it back.
Yeah. What if Carlos had gotten like, you know, what if the guy shot him or something? I mean, they were in Europe, not in America. So, you know.
True.
But I mean, that's
could have gotten shanked, you know, like. Little butter knife in the kidney? I don't know. Yeah.
Butter knife in the neck?
Yeah.
That's reserved for us. Yeah, but he's a king. King.
He's a king.
Do you think his girlfriend was there? Do you think his new lady love was
Rebecca?
There?
Rebecca? I didn't see any pictures.
I didn't either.
I don't know. Maybe she was on a job.
The WAG accounts did not seem to spot her. And you know, I'm a close follower of the WAG accounts.
Yes. I haven't seen anything, so. But I didn't check her Insta either to see if she was posting from other places around the world.
No, I didn't. I don't think I follow her. I just really let the WAG's accounts really keep me in the loop.
Tell us what we need to know.
But Kelly was there.
Kelly's been like front and center a lot, like almost like
ever since people thought they were breaking up.
But this, and you're in PR, like, do you think they are doubling down, or do you think they're just trying to like squash a rumor, or do you think like you need to be everywhere Max is?
I think that they're doubling down, but I also think that it's just this leg of the, like, I doubt she's in Singapore. Like, where they are right now, it's super easy. If you're based in like Central Europe, all okay. of these are pretty quick trips, you know, like all of these are essentially kind of like day trips.
I mean, you're on Max's private plane. Like, yeah, you can go anywhere you want. Yeah.
Right. But it's also like Max can send the plane back for her. She doesn't have, maybe isn't there all week. Like,
yeah,
these are easy, close by trips, especially since she has a kid. Like, mm-hmm. these are not, you know, she could go for 2 days and be home. These are like little weekend jaunts, as opposed to maybe like hitting Singapore or going like on the U.S. leg or South American right. leg, where it's like a longer time to adapt and stuff.
Because we have Singapore and then we have Japan, right?
Yeah, I bet she's not there.
Yeah, I doubt.
Because she lives in Monaco. So like for her to get to Monza, it's like, it's easy peasy, yeah. you know? She can come for the weekend. She can do a Friday, Sunday. Be back with her little bebe, or maybe right. Penelope even comes, you know? So I think that this European tour has been really easy to go to the races.
Okay.
That's my opinion.
I still think that there's a little like, I don't know. I just,
does it feel forced to you?
It does feel a little forced, and it feels a little like, you know, when things look too showy, like,
oh.
Like I don't know. I'm just a little Rebecca. Weary. Like, you know, there's sometimes you're just like, that smile's so big. Is it hiding something? Should we be concerned? Like, it looks a little, I don't know. Something feels different, but I don't know what it, I know you can't see this. I don't know what this motion is that I'm doing. It's just different.
But I just think that they're different people. Like, I just think that Max is not, he's not a Pierre. He's not a, Carlos, he's not a Carlos. He's not like he's not as kind of like gregarious as some of the other guys. So I think that it's just their relationship maybe feels a little stilted in photos or put on, but I just think that that's kind of how they are.
That makes sense. I could see that.
Like, I just don't think they're like goofy people or like,
no, they're not Alex and Lily. That's no. for sure. They're not even George and Carmen.
No, they don't like feel like playful people.
No, they don't.
So, okay. You know,
I'm going to keep my eye out, but yeah, I see what you're saying.
I don't think that there's anything up. I think that they just are not, I just think that their relationship is different than like what we're used to seeing from.
Yeah.
They're definitely no Tiff and Valtteri.
Who is?
Who could? I'm honestly mad that their summer break is over. I think that Valtteri just needs to leave and he just needs to go on summer holiday forever, because truly the internet has been less fun with him back on the grid.
I know. I mean, he's very busy doing his wine and like his gin or his oath. What is oath? Is oath gin? I think oath is gin. Whatever he's doing, he's very busy supporting that with his bikes, supporting his babe. I mean, there's just so much going on. He just doesn't have time for Formula One anymore. And I'm okay with that. Like,
yeah, I just think that everyone lauds Daniel Ricciardo for all of his extracurriculars, but like Valtteri is doing all of them and he's like crushing it. He's got like that food truck. I mean, he's got so many things going on. He's a man of so many, many talents. And I really just want a documentary that just follows him on all of his like random things. I want him to go back on holiday. He doesn't need to drive. I need him to be posting fun, good video content for me on the internet.
I agree. Hi, Georgie.
It's just felt like the every time I get on the push account now over a holiday break, he would pop up and I would just instantly be filled with joy. And just like, that looks fun. And like, he looks like he's just having a time. And now he's just driving. And I'm like, ugh, he doesn't seem like he's having any fun.
He's at work again. Ugh.
Yeah, I hate it.
I don't want to see your work photos, Dad.
Yeah. Truly.
Yeah.
Justice for him also. Can the man just get one really nice finish this year? I would love a fifth place finish for Valtteri. I would love it.
Okay.
He likes the night race, so maybe this is it. Maybe Singapore maybe
this is
going to
be for him. Okay. Well, let's wrap up Monza, and then we'll move into Singapore and see what we get. But who's your driver of the day for Monza?
Carlos.
Oh, that's nice. Look at that.
In my merch.
Beautiful jersey you have on, Danielle. What are you wearing?
I don't know if you all can see it. Maybe we can pop this on. I posted it on our story. It's my Furious Motorsports little Carlos Sainz jersey, little Marlboro.
Love Marlboros. It. 10 out of 10. So
I wore it on the race too. So I feel like I was sending him the good vibes. I wore it while I watched the race. I posted that in stories. So.
Oh my gosh, you're going to have to wear that like every week now.
Nope. I got to go back to the Charles one. I have a Charles one too. It says Monaco on it and Leclerc on the back. And I will go back to that, you know, but I thought it felt like it was his time. And people who say I'm not for real for like, I'm not for the whole Scuderia. I am. I have two of these. One is Charles and one is Carlos.
I'm not sure whoever would say that to you, but they obviously don't know you and don't follow the pod because like you obviously are tifosi till you die.
Till I die. I also I've had some, Carlos and I've had some ups and downs, but it's like family, you know, you always go back to family.
Yeah.
Like Too Fast, Too Furious.
Love it.
Yeah. So.
Okay.
I've been repping Carlos and we'll continue.
Love it. Who is your pole position?
Pole position goes to the Tifosi, the fans.
That's who I was going to give mine to.
They just were bringing like a really nice vibe. I mean, I think last week in Zandvoort also the vibes were good. Like the fan vibes have been very high.
Yes. In a positive way.
Last year, Monza was like, there was all kinds of transportation issues and like other kind of on-site issues. And I feel like this year we didn't see or hear about any of that. And that the people were just live, laugh, loving.
Did you hear that they lost over 10,000 trees to storms this year?
Yes.
And that there's usually more like tree canopies over the track, but because of storms, they've had to take them down.
Could tell in certain spots.
Yeah, it did like really thinned out. You're like, I was like, that's crazy.
Yeah. But I feel like we didn't hear about all the like crazy transportation issues that people were kind of.
Yeah, I didn't hear about that. And maybe they fixed it. Maybe they were like, we got to get our shit together.
I think that's why also like the vibes were high.
Agreed.
Everyone was living that Dolce Vita life.
All that gelato, all those Aperols. They're good.
Yeah. Who was your driver of the day?
My driver of the day was also Carlos because I will tell you, those first 15 laps, I was like, I mean, I was squealing the whole time. I was so proud of him. He was doing so good.
That's Monza.
And I was like, I mean, he was doing such a good job of just like pissing Max off. And I mean, it's twofold for me. I'm like, one, he's not in first place. And two, he's getting pissed off. Yes, Carlos, driver of the day.
It was too good to be true, though. So we knew we had to soak it in while it lasted.
And it just made it that much more like perfection that it came from Carlos at Monza. Surrounded by the Tifosi love. And I was like, this is great. I love every minute of this.
Agreed.
All 3 minutes of it, I loved.
Also, the mix is that Sergio Perez came in second, but just like Red Bull and the rest of the grid, nobody cared. So,
it was kind of weird, right? Like, nobody talked about it.
Nobody cares.
Nobody cares. Nobody.
We've just mentioned it now, and we are what, like 35 minutes in?
We're like, who came in second? Right?
Legitimately, no one cares. Red Bull didn't care. No one cares.
No one cares. Although, I cannot wait for Father's Day this year because the amount of like dad selfies that we're going to get to like make a montage of is going to be fantastic. But the one currently who takes the cake is Papa Perez. I don't know if you guys have scrolled through that carousel of his dad selfies. I mean, this is the gift that keeps on giving with this man. It is exceptional. Like, he's even got like the weird squint of like, where's the, am I looking in the right spot? I mean, it's classic. It's beautiful. I hope he never changes. And I honestly hope he can't figure out how to take a selfie again, because it's great. I love
it. He's definitely not changing. He's definitely, this is where he's at.
This is it. This is it. So, I mean, if Sergio does leave F1, I just hope he doesn't take his dad with him. You know, I hope Papa Red sticks around. Who's going to take him? Like who would give up their number one seat or even number two seat for him?
I got a prediction for you.
Okay.
If he does leave, if he does get, you know, pushed out, I think he ends up in your second seat at Audi.
I don't think so. He doesn't have enough.
He's from Mexico.
I know he's from Mexico, and this might sound like a snooty answer, but I don't think he has the look and he doesn't have the polish that Audi would look for in a driver.
Okay.
So, no.
All right.
I think he stays out of the Red Bull circuit, so I think AlphaTauri would be like, nope. I don't think that he would take a seat at AlphaTauri. I don't think you go from Red Bull to AlphaTauri if you're Sergio.
No,
I think 100%. You got to get out.
You got to go out. I'm just saying that it's the same that we talked about Zhou Guan Yu, is that like the Chinese market is so important.
Yes.
And so if there's not another, and I don't know enough about F2 or like the younger drivers coming up, but if there's not a young up and coming, like badass Mexican driver, I think he stays in until there is, because the Mexican audience is so important. It's such an important global market for F1 and for like every sport. That's why like the NBA is going down there. Like, that's why there's like such a move into that. I mean, I just don't think that, now I could be wrong, obviously, but I don't think that they're going to let that market not be represented.
Well, his contract's up in 24, but yeah. I don't see, unless he figures out how to have a more consistent second half of the season.
We're such haters. The guy just came in second.
I know. It's terrible. And if you run it back to the beginning of the season when I was like, Checo, he's a legend. Which he was, and he is, but he's getting no love. And I'm like, ew, it feels dirty. I don't know what's happening. I don't know.
Actively sabotaging this man, and he still came in second. And we're like, if he doesn't get it together, then I mean, he doesn't have a place on the grid.
Isn't he in second place in the constructors too? Like, in the driver's championship?
And you're like, I mean, if he can't get it together, nobody's going to want him. I mean, we didn't even mention him. I mean, I get that. Like, but I'm also just.
Okay, but so like, hilarious. if we're going to look at like Checo's resume, like.
It's good.
It's. But he's in a Red Bull, which is, again, like, you're a class above everyone when you're in that car. So like, is he doing great because he's in a Red Bull, or is he doing great because he's Checo?
Well, I think that he's doing exceptionally well because he's in a Red Bull. I think that he's great because he's Checo.
Okay. I'll take that as an answer. Put that on a shirt.
I mean, I think it's the same as Valtteri Bottas. I mean, that we're seeing right now. I mean, he was in the Mercedes and he was Checo. He was like the Checo before Checo was Checo.
This actually leads me to I don't know if you were going to talk about this in news and notes, but Lewis's quote about his teammates. Have you
seen this? Go ahead.
Talk about that?
No, go ahead.
Oh, okay. I'm going to try to pull it up real quick, but
me to read the quote?
Oh, please do. Yes.
In my personal opinion, all of my teammates have been stronger than the teammates that Max has had. Jensen, Fernando, George, Valtteri, Nico. Max has not raced against anyone like that.
He's not wrong.
I mean, it's a little unfair though to compare, like, Max has not been driving as long as Lewis. He also has not won as many world championships. So who's to say that on Max's sixth world championship that he might not be driving against someone who's of a similar caliber to some of those people?
I see what you're saying, but I also, like, his point is the competition's not there, whether it's been your two teammates or it's been however many you've had. Like, I know you haven't been in the sport as long, but like, he makes a valid point that like, he's got legendary teammates. Max has Chico.
And I, you know, I'm no Max apologist, but that's no fair to Max. Lewis is at the like tail end of his career.
Okay.
It's well, not fair to like to, it's like, that's comparing apples to oranges. Like we're
okay, no, let's do this. Let's go back to Max's first year at Red Bull. Who was his teammate?
Daniel Ricciardo.
Daniel Ricciardo, Fernando Alonso, because Lewis's first year at McLaren was Fernando. They're not the same.
You're a Daniel.
I'm telling you, I am saying to you, Fernando is not Daniel. Daniel was not as competitive as Fernando.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. Let's clip that and save it for forever so that we can.
No, I'm the one that edits this pause. I'm not clipping that.
No, you remember. For posterity, Shannon is on the record as saying Daniel Ricciardo is not as good
as Fernando Alonso. I don't think there's a lot of people that would argue that.
Oh, you might.
So to the point of, yeah, he hasn't had as many teammates, but his teammates have not been as good as classifications of the guys that he has as teammates.
That's true up until this point, but who's to say?
Okay, I think you're missing the point. We're arguing the same point.
I agree with you on that, but I just say that his statement is like, of course he can say that because he's had more teammates and had a longer career. So it's comparing apples to oranges.
Yeah, we can disagree on that, but that's fine.
Team Mercedes has gotten a little sour grapes lately, and I think they need to just take it and you touch it.
And get it to you're about to make some wine out of this because you're just beating these grapes to a pulp.
You're the one that brought up this quote.
I'm bringing up the quote because he makes a valid point.
I don't know. I don't think so. Agree to disagree. I think that Mercedes
which one of the drivers, Checo or Daniel, who would you put to be better than?
Well, at this point, Checo's better.
We only have this amount to make the comparison. I'm not going to say like in the future, he's got six more competitors.
Checo's better than George. Checo is better than George. If you want me to compare one, Checo is better than George. There you go. There's the one that's on there. He's better than George.
I don't think Checo is better.
Right now, he's better than Fernando. Not back at Fernando's height, but right now he is. The man has come from the back like 15 times this year, I feel like. He's come from the – they're like, here, we're going to start you seven laps behind. And he's like still ends up finishing in the top five.
Not to say he's not a great driver. Like you just said, he's great. He's exceptional because he's in a Red Bull. He's a great driver.
He's better than George. I'll say that on that one. I'll take that one.
He's better than George. Okay. Got it.
I'm just saying Lewis and Toto need to – just work on the car a little more.
Ugh. All right. Next topic. What do we got?
I was going to talk about McLaren, but you got me looking up this quote. McLaren boss not impressed with, quote, unacceptable Italian GP clash. When you ask a team principal about any on-track battle involving their two drivers, they often give quite a muted response, but not Andrea Stella. He declared that the turn one clash between Lando Norris and Oscar Piastri during the Italian GP was not acceptable. The McLaren drivers have been relatively close in pace for much of the season, whether good or bad. But on lap 24 of the Italian GP, the pair clashed at the first chicane as Piastri rejoined the track after pitting for hard tires. The choice to pit Lando first, despite Oscar being ahead on the track, had already frustrated fans on social media, and as Oscar fought to come back out ahead of his teammate. The front right of Piastri's car hit Norris's side pod. Luckily, there was no damage for either. That didn't save the pair from Stella's wrath, though. Talking to the media, including the race, he said there should never, ever be a contact between two McLaren cars. There was a contact which doesn't fit the way we would go racing at McLaren. Stern words from the McLaren boss, and when asked if he'd speak to both drivers who replay, he replied, you just review things like you do with anything that is technical, operational racing. What is important is to have a clear perimeter as to what you deem acceptable and what you deem not acceptable. It's not an emotional thing. It's just like you did with other things you deal with racing in a similar way. So dad is unhappy with the McLaren boys.
Well, you know, watching that incident unfold, I was like, Lando was waiting for Oscar to concede. He was like, no, I'm the big brother. I get to take this turn. And Oscar's like, fuck you. No, you don't. Like, we're going to race. I'm going to go. It's my turn. And he's like, mm-mm.
Yeah. Mm-mm. Yeah.
So I was like, well.
So who do you pick in the, whose side are you on, Lando's or Oscar's?
Nuns. The McLarens are dead to me. You know this. I used to be. And then they did Danny Rick dirty. And Piastri's on my nerves because he took out Danny Rick twice already. And I'm not a Lando fan, so I don't really care.
Oh, okay.
I don't care.
Nico Hülkenberg's savage assessment of, quote, unworthy Haas Italian GP performance. Nico Hülkenberg savaged Haas after the Italian Grand Prix ended with the VF23s, the only two cars left. Haas failing to score a point for the ninth Grand Prix in a row. Despite starting the year's championship with a midfield, if not even slightly faster car, and scoring in three of the first five Grand Prix, Haas have only added sprint race points since Miami. The team's biggest problem has been tire wear, the VF23 destroying the Pirelli rubber and costing the driver speed in the long runs. This was evident at Monza, where Hülkenberg made a good start from 13th on the grid to run inside the points, the German even overtaking the Aston Martin of Fernando Alonso to do so. But blah, 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 they go, you know, they just started sliding. When all was said and done after the 51 laps, Hülkenberg was 17th to Kevin Magnussen's P18. The Haas teammates were not only the last of the classified runners, but also the only drivers lapped by race winner Max Verstappen. Oof. That's an ego blow. We're just beating the tire. The balance is poor. We're sliding a lot more than the other cars. Can't keep the pace up using more tire. So yeah, it was one of the toughest and worst races of the season, Hülkenberg told media. The characteristic and the feel of the car was much better in Zandvoort than this weekend. So yeah, need to review that. Obviously, that's a big miss, not having a front flap ready for the new front wing. I think we're the only team who didn't have any parts, any upgrades here this weekend. And quite frankly, we're not worthy. We're not point worthy also for that reason. He said, dang, we don't deserve him.
We don't deserve it.
He got his contract signed and was like, all right, now I'm ready to talk.
Yeah, seriously. He's like, secure my seat and then I'll tell you what I think. Like,
let me sign my name and then let me tell you how I feel.
Yeah. Maybe they need to hear it, you know?
Yeah. Maybe they do.
That's what they
definitely need to do something, because they did start so well. Is that a real?
There's, dude, I don't even know, like, do they have upgrades to bring? Are they just like, this is what we got, guys. This is it.
Oh. Yeah, they were like, this is how many pieces you get at the beginning of the year. This is like the set of Legos you got at the beginning of the year. You don't get any new Legos. Like, you got to use these all year.
This is
like,
it.
The other teams are like getting new sets. They're getting all the stuff. This Gene Haas said, this is it. This is all you get.
If you lose the 17 pieces
you're done.
That were extra, that's it.
You better go call Chipotle and see if they'll give us some more, because we're not getting any other ones.
Oh, you know what? We had talked about this, not last rate, but the at the Dutch GP. What was we were going to start talking about a new sponsor, like picking a sponsor on someone's race suit,
and explaining who they are,
explaining who it was, because on the Red Bull race suit, there is, hang on here, let me,
we looked one up a few weeks ago. Who was that? It was like something super random.
Yeah, it was.
Oh, it's a modeling company for Red Bull.
Yeah, but I thought it, because I was like, is it like Fazoli's, but like in another country? Like, what is that? Hang on.
That's, they're the biggest producer of fruit juices and tea beverages in Austria by far, and play a role internationally. Hold on, except the cookies. But they are, they also do all the bottling. Like, it's like a factory.
So they bottle the Red Bull.
Yeah. Oh,
who knew?
Yeah. They have been a partner of Red Bull Racing since the very beginning in 2005. And they're the biggest producer of fruit juices and tea beverages in Austria by far, and play a determining role internationally as well. The company keeps the team well supplied with fruit juices in the Red Bull Energy Station at the races, as well as the team back at the factory in Milton Keynes.
Oh, cool. So, look at that.
Yeah. Now we know. We did some diving into them. But it looks like their logo looks like a grocery store, which I was like, this must be a European grocery store. Also, big funnies is that a website that Red Bull links to their website, and it's to a page that doesn't exist.
Oh, boy.
So whoever's running the Red Bull website should maybe update that
route. Maybe.
But
maybe fix that. Yeah.
All right, cool. Who's your predictions for Singapore?
Singapore, Max, Lewis, and a McLaren?
Huh? Mm-hmm.
I think we're going to get a McLaren.
Okay.
And then we're going to get Williams in fifth.
Oh,
specifically okay. Alex.
Specifically Alex. I think it's going to be Max, Checo, and Charles. And I think Valtteri Bottas is going to get some points. Seven. P7.
P7. Okay.
Or VB77.
VB77. Yes.
Coming in seven.
Let's do it.
It's his
Maybe
time.
We should just start picking midfields and see how good we do with that.
Honestly, we should just pick like fourth through eighth.
I know. Just like, guys, this is where the fun is. I know.
Would like really pop off.
It would.
Because it's wild. You never know.
It's a mixed bag. Sometimes it's a mixed bag. You just never know.
I think that Piastri's going to come in fourth, Carlos fifth, George Russell sixth, Lewis ninth.
Piastri fourth, George Russell. Wait, you said George Russell sixth?
Yeah. Piastri fifth.
Fifth.
Maybe fourth. I don't know. I just said it. It came off the tongue and then I forgot it.
And then you just lost it.
I lost it. I let it go.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, let's, we're going to give a little fantasy update.
Let the people know.
Let the people know how they're doing. It's not going to come to surprise to many of you when you're like, oh yeah, that's about right. Wait, where's our league? Okay. Nope. Okay. So for currently overall, actually, yes. Let's, yeah. Overall, Max Disi, you moved up to first place. Yeah, that's new.
Congrats.
Yes, congratulations, Max Disi. Cousin Carlos in second. Max Van for Life in third. ALS main team, you've moved up. And Stream Aus 23, you are now in fifth place.
Wow, big mix up at Monza.
Well, you got to think, like, this race did have some, like, Yuki. I think a lot of people were, like, expecting things out of him. Piastri. Really dicked over a lot of us too.
Fernando. A lot of people have Fernando and he wasn't really cutting it this week.
Yeah. So that wasn't great by any means.
Lewis didn't have a great, I mean, he was like seventh. Isn't that where he finished?
I think so. I did like, not. Yeah, I never put him on my team. But
because, yeah, I know.
Because I can't. Because this is why he doesn't do great. Yeah. So. Congrats to the winners.
And if that Max is see, drop us a note. We'll send you a sticker.
Yeah, we haven't sent you a sticker yet.
Yeah, send us your, DM us your address and we will send you a sticker. And if you're wondering, where should we DM you? Oh, well, you should at F1 Push Push on Instagram, F1 Push Push on TikTok. Shannon's been creating some new talks. I've been creating some hot fire shareable content.
Yes.
The hope this email finds you well is with some of my best work.
That one had me like just giggling in the parking lot when I saw that. I was like, oh, that was so funny. So lulzy. If you are not sharing the Friday posts, because at least one of them in the carousel should speak to your heart at all times. And there might be several, but share them because they're funny. They're great. And Danielle really just knocks it out of the park with the Friday post.
It's really where I thrive is just hunting down on the internet pictures of drivers just doing the damn thing or drivers and their associated, you know, compatriots, girlfriends, friends, relatives, whatever. And you can also follow us on X, is that's what it's called now. F1 Push Push Pod. You know, frankly, I have not been doing a lot. I do like to get on there to read, but you know, it's a little contentious. And so, you know, it's not really where I thrive in terms of a content creation platform.
Okay.
But
good to know.
We do thrive from the inside out when you write us a review. So please leave us a review, a 5-star rating and review wherever you enjoy this podcast. It will make us happier than Yuki Tsunoda getting out of the formation. And until next time, push, push.